Welcome to In Depth with the Justice Department, sponsored by Technica Corporation and Juniper Networks, here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Now here's your host, Tom Temin.
Facing an aging workforce and unanswered questions over the legality of some of its work, Justice Department leaders will have several challenging problems to deal with in the new year. For more, Federal News Radio's Eric White spoke with the agency's Inspector General, Michael Horowitz. In part one of the interview, Horowitz lays out what his office found to be the agency's biggest issues.
The challenges include ensuring or safeguarding national security, addressing cybersecurity issues, both internal threats and external threats. We continue to see issues with the overcrowded prison system and the costs of managing that system impacting the department. We also had a new challenge on there about managing human capital and promoting diversity, given the workforce is increasingly eligible to retire.
And you harped especially on safeguarding national security and cybersecurity. What sort of measures would you like to see in place there, and how important are those issues?
Well, there are several challenges in both of those areas facing the department. On safeguarding national security, as we've seen, several recent attacks by U.S. nationals or permanent residents, people who are in the country legally, and the challenge for law enforcement and the intelligence community in particular in understanding where those attacks may come from and what's causing the issues to arise. I think we've seen in the past much of the focus and concern being on individuals overseas coming into this country, but as we've unfortunately and sadly seen recently, several of the attacks in recent years have been from people who were in this country legally, had been here for many years, and yet went forward with very serious attacks that killed many people. So that, I think, is a very significant challenge for the law enforcement community. It's also a challenge to do that in a manner that's obviously consistent with our constitutional safeguards and protections. And that's been a challenge and an issue that the law enforcement intelligence community has been grappling with, struggling with, and the public has been debating for many years since 9/11. And so that continues. In the cybersecurity area, we've seen a series of threats, both from external forces, from government actors, and from non-government actors. And we've also seen concerns about internal threats and insider threats. And one of the issues that has been a challenge for the Justice Department as well as other intelligence agencies has been the threat from potential employees, individuals within the organizations, and how to make sure that those individuals who might be seeking to do damage or harm to the agencies that are employing them from doing that.
In getting local law enforcement and communities to work together better, I know that the Justice Department has launched many initiatives in this area trying to get local communities and law enforcement to see eye to eye on some issues. It's obviously an area where they can improve because you mentioned it as one of the challenges. How have the initiatives so far worked in that area?
Well, that is one of the challenges for the department, is strengthening the connections and the relationships between local communities and law enforcement in those communities. And while that is, as we noted in our report, primarily the responsibility of state and local authorities to manage those relationships, the Justice Department actually has a significant role to play in that regard, both from the standpoint of its grant-making arms that support state and local authorities and community policing and relationships, but also through federal law enforcement. The FBI, the DEA, the Marshals, ATF all partner extensively with state and local law enforcement. And so the Justice Department, through those relationships, has the ability to have a significant impact on local policing and local law enforcement, as well as, obviously, through the Justice Department's prosecutorial function. The Civil Rights Division obviously looks at and has the authority to prosecute civil rights violations. It also engages in oversight through its pattern and practice reviews and investigations, which are civil in nature, but nevertheless have frequently resulted over the last several years in consent decrees with state and local law enforcement agencies to make sure that they are reforming their policies and procedures in a manner that the Civil Rights Division and the Justice Department believe they need to do to be consistent with their constitutional and statutory obligations.
Michael Horowitz is Inspector General for the Justice Department. Let's talk workforce. Like many other agencies, the Justice Department is facing a considerably older workforce that is going to be able to retire soon, and there may be a shortage there or gaps that aren't able to be filled. What are some measures that the DOJ can take to address that issue?
Well, you're right. There are several significant challenges for the Justice Department and really across the federal government in the coming years as the workforce a growing number of percentage of the Justice Department and the federal workforce becomes eligible for retirement. I think some of the challenges that the department in particular faces is, given its responsibility for law enforcement and its significant role in the intelligence community, making sure that it has well-trained and talented core of individuals who are prepared to step into the shoes of those experienced retiring agents and non-agents over the coming years. And so in the cyber area is perhaps among the most obvious areas where there's a lot of work to be done. We've done prior reports about the challenges the FBI, for example, has faced in that area with retaining, recruiting, strong talent for cyber-related positions, given the competition that's fierce for those individuals. And we've also commented in the Top Management Challenges report about the difficulty that the department and other agencies, again, across the board, have with bringing on board, hiring, and promptly bringing on board prosecutors, agents, attorneys, IT specialists. I mean, some of the numbers that we've laid out in the report give you a sense of that. It took the department on average over 5 months to bring on board an attorney. It took them over 5 months to bring on board an agent. It took them over half a year to bring on IT specialists. And those are the kinds of issues that there needs to be significant reform on. The federal government and the Justice Department can't take 6 months to a year to bring on the kind of talented people it needs to undertake the challenges we've laid out.
And getting back to the overcrowded federal prison system, just how bad of the situation are we looking at? Are they severely understaffed as well for the amount of inmates they've been tasked with taking care of?
Yes, it continues to be a problem. Now, this is an area where the numbers have actually improved over the last several years. And so while the BOP institutions remain overcrowded, particularly for higher security institutions, the numbers have dropped over the last 3 years. So the movement is in the right direction. But, for example, high security institutions are still 31% over capacity. And so there are still challenges there for the BOP and the department in making sure it has adequate prison space and also an adequate number of correctional officers to manage those institutions. I know that's a concern for not only the department and the BOP, but also for the correctional officers and the union that represents them, that there are challenges in being in an institution and working in an institution where there is overcrowding. And that's something the department needs to look at. It also, on the flip side, needs to look at the costs associated with managing the prisons, because even as the overcrowding has been reduced somewhat over the last few years, and as I said, still overcrowded, the share of the department's budget that the BOP and the prisons take up continues to remain flat or even grow a little bit. And that money, as we've talked about in the past, makes it a challenge for the leadership of the department to manage other programs, because every dollar that goes to a prison means one less dollar for agents, FBI agents, ATF agents, DEA agents, for federal prosecutors, for civil rights prosecutors, for civil division, for everyone else in the Justice Department. And the share of that prison spending has gone up from as a percentage of the department's budget, from the teens about 20 years ago to now about a quarter of the department's budget. So it's been a very significant increase over the last 20 years, and it remains a challenge for the department.
Michael Horowitz is Inspector General for the Justice Department, speaking with Federal News Radio's Eric White. Michael Horowitz is Inspector General of the Justice Department and chairs the Council for Inspectors General on Integrity and Efficiency. He spoke with Federal News Radio's Eric White. Find the interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. I'm Tom Temin.
Is your agency's network staff bogged down with repetitive administrative tasks? Juniper Networks automation tools provide new levels of power over your network services while reducing operational costs. Experience the benefits of machine speed for higher efficiency, reduced strain on your network environment, and on your staff. Technica Corporation has the engineering expertise to customize Juniper automation solutions to meet your agency's needs. For more, visit technicacorp.com. That's technicacorp.com.
Sustaining the never-ending effort to battle illegal drugs can get expensive. Through asset forfeiture and other means, the Justice Department generates billions of dollars it uses to assist state law enforcement agencies. The money's got to be accounted for, and that's where Kelly McFadden comes in. She's director of the Financial Statement and Audit Office for the Justice Inspector General, and she joins me now. Ms. McFadden, good to have you on.
Good morning. Thank you.
So tell us about this illegal, this money. It has an interesting name, Drug Control Funds and Obligations. Explain how the program works.
Sure. Okay. Well, the Drug Control Funds are funds that are used for the drug control activities. They support the national drug control strategy that's set by the Office of National Drug Control Policy. We call it ONDCP. And most of the funds that we receive here at Justice is primarily received from appropriated funds. The way these funds come to us is each agency will request funding as part of their annual budget request. However, this budget, the drug control funding portion of the budget, is a little bit different in outside of the normal budget request, because this funding also has to be approved by the ONDCP. So the agencies will also submit the drug portion of their request to the ONDCP for review and certification. ONDCP will then determine if the agency's request is adequate to be able to implement the drug strategy, and they want to make sure that it closely corresponds to the priorities that the ONDCP has identified.
Now, several agencies have these funds, including the Asset Forfeiture Office, but many others that are appropriated, as you mentioned. Do they all go into one big pool for the same purpose?
They do, yes.
And that purpose is sharing with states mostly?
Well, there's eight agencies here within the Department of Justice that receives drug control funding, and they all have unique priorities that they work with. We, of course, have the Drug Enforcement Administration. We also have the Bureau of Prisons within Justice that also receives some drug control funding. And some of the interesting things that they do over at the Bureau of Prisons, there's a program called the Residential Substance Abuse Treatment Program. And this is a program within the prisons that it's a treatment program, about 500 hours that the inmates have to commit to. And they offer this in 76 different BOP locations in one contract facility.
So therefore, the Bureau of Prisons gets its own appropriated money for its own purposes. But for this purpose of drug control among inmates, it gets money from the fund we're talking about.
Correct.
And does this go when it goes out of the federal government, say, to a state agency? Are the monies via grants, or how does that work?
It can be through grants. We also have the Office of Justice Programs, and they would release some grants to the state and local level as well.
Now, let's talk about the IG and where that comes into it. You have to account for the money and make sure it's being used the right way. Tell us how your life is structured to follow these funds.
Sure. Okay. So this gets into a little bit of the purpose of the annual accounting and related performance. And there's two steps involved here. The first part is really something that's performed by the agencies. The agency has to compile what they call the detailed accounting, and this has a financial section and a performance section. But then once the agencies prepare these, they also make several assertions related to the accuracy of that data. And then that's where the IG comes in with our review. And the goal of our review is to confirm that the information that the agencies have reported in this detailed accounting matches the information that's in their accounting systems. And we do this to give some assurance to the ONDCP and to Congress, then as a user of the ONDC report, and to the public of the accuracy of these numbers. Now, two important things, though, to point out about our review is that our review is not evaluating the policies or the results. For example, we don't weigh in on whether ONDCP's priorities are good or bad or whether the performance matrix show that DOJ is succeeding. This review is really only looking at the accuracy of the data. And a second important distinction about our review is that this is not an audit. It's an attestation. So we give what we call negative assurance. We basically just want to make sure that the numbers agree to the agency systems.
Kelly McFadden is Director of the Financial Statement and Audit Office at the Justice Department's Inspector General. I'm Tom Tenen.
Is your agency's network staff bogged down with repetitive administrative tasks? Juniper Networks automation tools provide new levels of power over your network services while reducing operational costs. Experience the benefits of machine speed for higher efficiency, reduced strain on your network environment, and on your staff. Technica Corporation has the engineering expertise to customize Juniper automation solutions to meet your agency's needs. For more, visit technicacorp.com. That's technicacorp.com.
We're speaking with Kelly McFadden, Director of the Financial Statement and Audit Office for the Justice Inspector General. So that means attestation is their written word or their spoken word that these numbers are what they say they are?
Yes, that's correct.
So how do you, I mean, does anybody look at it deeper than that or is that good enough?
excellent question. There are a lot of other audits that are conducted by the OIG. For example, here in my office, we also do the financial statement audit work for the department and all of its reporting components. And so as part of that audit, we are performing test work over the systems and evaluating the reliability of the data that comes out of their financial management performance systems. So we do have some level of comfort over those balances. So the distinction here really is just that this one particular report related to the ONDCP funding, the procedures that we perform directly for this report are limited only to tying out the numbers. But we do have assurances through other means.
Now, this amounted to $7.8 billion, I think, in the last fiscal year for which the latest report came out. How much of that is appropriated and how much is asset forfeiture?
Oh, okay. Excellent question. Most of it is appropriated. There's only about 8% that come from other funding sources. And those two areas would be through the Asset Forfeiture Fund with seizure, the seized money. But then also at the Drug Enforcement Administration, they have the Diversion Control Fund. And so a small portion of that total is also coming from there. But around over 90% of the money is coming from a direct appropriation.
And getting back to the states to whom some of this money is distributed each year by grants or other means, I'm just looking at a report from South Dakota for what they got in 2016. And does anyone, if they do, who is it that overlooks the states and the grants to make sure that the money is used in the right way? For example, I see $1,538 for binoculars for one county. Another county got $35,000 for a canine vehicle.
I mean, these all seem like they could be used for drug control, but does anyone look at to make sure the grants are as they should be?
Sure. We have many program offices here within the Department of Justice that would perform program audits over areas such as that. We also have an office that specializes in what's called a single audit. And so that type of audit is an audit that looks at recipients of federal grant money that may have, it may be like a nonprofit organization that hires a public accounting firm, you know, out in the location that where they reside. And so the single audit office would come in and they would review the report from this other auditor's work and make sure that that auditor ensured that then the recipient was complying with the standards. So there are certainly a couple different options that we would be able to have some vision into how a grant recipient is using that money.
Now, with respect to getting the attestations from the different program managers that these things are as they should be and the numbers match up, how long does that take?
I think it would depend on the size of the grant. You know, some grants can be quite large, where other grants may be you know, maybe a smaller dollar or even a program that is easier to navigate through. So I think that really depends.
But this is a year-long effort that it takes to generate this report each year?
Our ONDCP report?
Yeah.
Oh, actually, no. Our report, we usually complete it within about a two-month time frame.
Kelly McFadden is Director of the Financial Statement and Audit Office at the Justice Department's Inspector General. Thanks so much for joining me.
All right. Thank you very much.
Find a link to her latest audit report and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to In Depth with the Justice Department, sponsored by Technica Corporation and Juniper Networks, here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.